The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from self.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article is from teenvogue.com, titled, Which Stranger Things character are you, based on zodiac sign? This article is written by Lisa Stardust. After years of delays due to the pandemic, Stranger Things Season 4 has finally arrived. In honor of one of our favorite sci-fi series returning, we aligned each of the main characters, minus the Mind Flayer, with a zodiac sign to help everyone relate to the show on a deeper level. Do you cosmically align with Hopper, Erica, or Eleven? Let the stars decide. Aries, Jim Hopper. Hopper fiercely protects the town that he grew up in, even from afar in Russia. Like the warrior sign Aries, he won't back down in any challenges and fights those who threaten the security of Hawkins. Aries are quick to temper, a sentiment which we've seen in Hopper, but only when he's super mad, which is totally understood in the precise moment. Taurus, Max Mayfield. When it comes to being an amazing BFF, Max takes the cake. Max is very loyal to Eleven in advising her about her relationship with Mike. Plus, she's a great partner to Lucas, especially when she's not dealing with Vecna. Max's faithfulness, allegiance, and devotion to her crew resonate with the unwavering zodiac sign, Taurus. Cancer, Joyce Byers. Cancers are known to be maternal, unconditional, loving, and headstrong, all attributes that describe Will and Jonathan's mother, Joyce. Not only is Joyce the provider and nurturer of the household, but she is a very compassionate parent who wants to do right by her children at any cost. Joyce will go to any realm for those she loves. Gemini, Dustin Henderson. As the super chatty member of the crew, Dustin's mercurial nature makes him radiate Gemini vibes and energy. He is very inquisitive and always wanting to expand his mind. Dustin's intelligence and thirst for knowledge leads him to being a know-it-all who does actually know it all, not only in science, but also in life. And he's an awesome friend, like most Geminis are. Leo, Steve Harrington. Steve's charm, wealth, and suave demeanor make him the Prince of Hawkins. Yes, he has a strong sense of self and can be very egotistical, like any Leo. But he has a big heart that a few lucky peeps get to see. Always one to give advice, take charge, and assert his will, Steve will give time and energy to protecting those in need. Virgo, Nancy Wheeler. Nancy's journalistic skills and big dreams of being a reporter help in exposing the dark secrets of Hawkins and the Upside Down. Her desire to uncover the truth and help others make Nancy an ideal Virgo, even though she lacks patience for her brother Mike at times. Although she's popular, in true Virgo form, Nancy has bigger goals for herself outside of the town. Libra, Mike Wheeler. From the moment Mike locks eyes with Eleven, he begins to have major feels for her. In true Libra form, Mike spends the majority of the series fawning over his childhood crush and first love, as well as caring for his best friends. The relationship between Eleven and him is of the most importance to Mike because Eleven is chill, rad, and has magical powers. Scorpio, Lucas Sinclair. From the get-go, Lucas is suspicious of Eleven, even though he later realizes that there is nothing to be doubtful of. All Scorpios have a defense mechanism when meeting new people, which explains Lucas's hesitation in welcoming Eleven into the gang. Lucas's heart, however, has no bounds when it comes to Max. Like 99.999% of Scorpios, he falls hard when in love. Sagittarius, Erica Sinclair. Though she is Lucas's younger sister, Erica does not live in his shadow. Erica is the most impulsive, reckless, adventurous of the crew, and so she most aligns with the fearless archer who never backs down in the face of adversity. Like Sagittarius, Erica has a quick-witted personality that's put to the test in season 3. After all, you can't spell America without Erica. Capricorn, Will Byers. After his stay in the Upside Down, Will loses the innocent part of himself and becomes an old soul. Throughout the seasons, he becomes super reflective and aware of the world around him. How could he not after what he's gone through? Taking on the characteristics of contemplative Capricorn. With the support, help, and TLC of good friends and family, Will thrives like the sea goat. Aquarius, Jonathan Byers. Aquarians are never ones to be in line with the status quo. Listening to punk music and being a photography student in Hawkins makes Jonathan a unique person who spends time doing what he loves, even if others consider it to be offbeat. Like Jonathan, Aquarians march to the beat of their own drums and crush on people from afar, ahem, his infatuation with Nancy. Pisces, Eleven/Jane Hopper. Pisces are known for their mystical, out-of-this-world intelligence, which is why Eleven's powers connect with the sign. Upon a deeper look at Eleven, she has a tender heart of gold and is a kind friend to those in her social circle. Therefore, Eleven is the ultimate sentimental and sweet fish. Even though she plays tough at times, which Pisces often do to protect themselves. Our next article is an excerpt from self.com. What's so super about superfoods? This article is written by Audrey Bruno, Carolyn L. Todd, and Camille No Pagan. It's not hard to get on board with adding more superfoods to your diet. Who doesn't want their food to be super? But here's a follow-up question. What are superfoods really? And what does it take for a food to be deemed super, as opposed to just, you know, regular healthy? If you've been pondering these vexing questions lately, you're not alone. Nearly 2/3 of U.S. adults report being more focused on their health compared to a year ago, and sales of functional foods, i.e. foods that are sold on the premise of being beneficial to your health in some way, spiked by almost 7% in 2021 compared to the year before, per a recent report on food trends from the Institute of Food Technologists. So if you're looking for the foods that will go above and beyond when it comes to ticking your nutritional boxes, the whole superfoods concept is probably on your radar and all over your Instagram feed. The only issue, there's actually no formal or universal agreement on what actually counts as a superfood. And many items that tend to really let their superfood flag fly tend to be more expensive and less accessible compared to those that haven't earned that sparkly health halo, research shows. As a result, you might be passing up perfectly super, but not so exciting, foods in favor of their flashy, exotic-seeming counterparts and have a higher food bill to show for it. More luxe and sexy? Yes. More important to include in your diet than many of the more familiar and cost-effective healthy foods you likely already eat? Not so much, as we'll discuss. So exactly what are we getting from these so-called superfoods? Who the heck decides what foods qualify as superior? How important of a role do these foods actually play in your diet? And are they worth shelling out on? We spoke to the experts to help sort this all out. Here's everything you need to know. What is considered a superfood? Let's start with the literal dictionary definition of a superfood. According to Merriam-Webster, a superfood is a food, such as salmon, broccoli, or blueberries, that is rich in compounds, such as antioxidants, fiber, or fatty acids, considered beneficial to a person's health. Basically, superfoods are good for you, and whole or minimally processed foods that are just a little extra. They truly pack a nutritional punch and deliver a substantial dose of disease-fighting nutrients like phytonutrients, vitamins, minerals, and fiber. Charlotte Martin, MSRDN, author of The Plant Forward Solution, tells Self. For many nutrition experts, it's those phytonutrients, or plant nutrients, some of which are antioxidants, in particular, that set ingredients we often classify as superfoods apart. Wendy Bazillion, DRPHRDN, author of The Superfoods RX Diet, tells Self. These plant compounds have the potential function to help support health and reduce the risk of certain chronic diseases beyond simply eliminating potential nutrient deficiencies or supporting energy needs, Bazillion says. Antioxidants are thought to do this by keeping levels of free radicals, a type of naturally occurring and highly reactive molecule in the body that, in excess, can damage healthy cells in check, as Self has explained. For instance, phytonutrients like anthocyanins found in blue-purple foods like blackberries, blueberries, acai berries, and red cabbage are thought to protect against heart disease and diabetes. Carotenoids found in red and orange foods like tomatoes and carrots may reduce the risk of certain cancers and protect skin from the sun's UV rays. The thing is, there are no official qualifications or cutoffs for what counts as a superfood versus, well, any generally nutritious food. No minimum amount of antioxidants they must contain, or any other nutrient for that matter. Unlike other feel-good food claims, such as healthy, excellent source of, and organic, the term superfood is not regulated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, or U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA. That means that companies or manufacturers can declare anything a superfood, Noah Quezada, RD, owner of Noah's Nutrition, tells Self. That can definitely lead to some confusion at the supermarket. Is this kale-infused cereal a superfood? On the other hand, a broad definition means that lots of the foods you eat on the regular could probably count as superfoods. In fact, when you squint hard enough, almost any generally nutritious food, think fruits and veggies, healthy high-fat foods like salmon, eggs, beans, yogurt, and whole grains, can fit under that gigantic umbrella. There's no official superfoods list, people. When you look at it that way, there really isn't anything that sets a superfood apart from other healthy foods, Sheena Jeremio, MSRD, owner of Peace and Nutrition, tells Self. How does a food become a superfood anyway? Since there's no formal criteria for what counts as a superfood, the coveted status is achieved mainly through marketing. Basically, if a brand or manufacturer wants to rebrand a food as super, they've got free rein to do it, Quezada says. Whether or not a food ultimately catches on as a superfood really depends on whether the rest of us agree. Foods become superfoods essentially by popularity in the media, Jeremio explains. So once a food that has some eye-catching nutrition stats gets a good ad campaign and enough momentum behind it, boom. If we can notice a large quantity of vitamins and minerals in the nutrient label, that food has a good chance of becoming a superfood, Jeremio says. This often happens with foods that have been around for pretty much ever and have always been healthy, but that people weren't really interested in, think kale or Brussels sprouts. Which is great, because both of those foods are really nutritious and yummy. But there's a downside, since the trend can cause consumers to think of more commonplace healthy foods, like spinach, oats, beans, or apples, as less nutritionally valuable or even inferior, despite that not being the case. Kansas City-based dietitian and wellness nutritionist Diana Sini, RDLD, tells Self. What's the number one superfood? Considering that superfood doesn't even have an official definition, it's impossible to crown one single food the superest of all. That said, many experts see plant-based foods as more likely to be worthy of the title compared to most animal-based foods, simply because they give you more nutritional bang for your buck, especially in terms of those aforementioned phytonutrients and antioxidants. Plants are rich in fiber, vitamins, and minerals, Quezada says. When we look at our diet, which is typically low in fiber, vitamins, and minerals, we can see that plants are more likely to fill those gaps, Quezada says. Plant foods are also more likely than animal products to be low in saturated fat, which the USDA generally advises people to limit. Still, some animal foods may fit the bill. Bazillion considers foods like yogurt and kefir to be superfoods because they're packed with probiotics to support the population of healthy microbes in your gut microbiome, the ecosystem of organisms that is thought to influence not only your digestive system, but your health in many ways. Salmon is widely cited as a superfood too, thanks to its omega-3 fatty acids linked to heart and brain health. Do I need to get more superfoods in my diet? Many experts agree that it's better to focus on eating a diverse array of whole, natural foods in general rather than chasing down the latest superfood. In other words, you don't need to eat quinoa and chia seeds every single day. Swapping them out for basic brown rice and peanut butter, or oatmeal and sunflower seeds, is totally awesome. It's important to note that a healthy diet is one that provides you with all the nutrients you need, and one single food can't provide everything, Quezada explains. The key to a healthy diet is variety and moderation. You need to eat a variety of foods from all the food groups. On the other hand, it's usually fine to eat lots of a specific superfood if you really love it. Just keep in mind that no one food will completely change the game health-wise, no matter what you might have seen about it on Instagram, Bazillion says. Also, don't eat so much of one superfood that it ends up crowding out other good-for-you options. Diversifying the nutrients in your diet, not to mention the tastes and textures, really is key to supporting your health and generally feeling your best. What's the new superfood? It's hard to stay on top of superfood trends, given new ones crop up so often or recycle themselves over the years. Blueberries, green tea, seeds, avocado, spinach, kale, salmon, nuts, garlic, ginger, green tea, and fermented foods like yogurt or tempeh were the biggest superfood winners in 2021, according to an annual nutrition survey from Pollock Communications. If you want to enjoy these superfoods du jour, go for it. Just remember that there are plenty of foods out there that are pretty darn super, even if they're not thought of as super per se. And our last article for today from self.com, will you need an annual COVID-19 vaccine? Here's what the experts predict. And this article is written by Maggie O'Neill. In the future, public health experts may recommend getting an annual COVID-19 vaccine the same way a flu vaccine is recommended every fall, according to a new Viewpoint article published in JAMA, which is authored by three Food and Drug Administration, FDA, officials. Administering additional COVID-19 vaccine doses to appropriate individuals this fall, around the time of the usual influenza campaign, has the potential to protect susceptible individuals against hospitalization and death, and therefore will be a topic for FDA consideration, the article says. Those at greatest risk who might benefit most from vaccination include immunocompromised individuals and people older than 50 years. In the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic, experts warned against comparing influenza to COVID-19, in part because the first wave of coronavirus cases led to many more deaths than the average flu season. However, because the dominant coronavirus variants now circulating, including the Omicron subvariant BA2, are less likely to cause severe illness and death, researchers are beginning to associate the two respiratory viruses. During the height of the Omicron wave in the U.S. in December 2021, Dr. Fauci told CBS Mornings that it was entirely conceivable and likely that we will eventually live with COVID-19 the way we do influenza and the common cold. We are not going to be in a situation of this degree of intensity indefinitely. We hope we get there soon, he said. It's plausible that our new normal will include regular COVID-19 vaccines to prevent potentially devastating outbreaks in the future, Kristen Englund, MD, an infectious disease expert at Cleveland Clinic, who was not an author of the new Viewpoint article, told Self. I think it's too early to say that we're absolutely going to get a fall shot, Dr. Englund says, but she believes that the country may see a recommendation for one. Amesh Adalja, MD, a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, echoes this. I think, in general, the goal has been to make COVID-19 more like the flu in terms of its ability to cause severe disease, Dr. Adalja, who was not an author of the new Viewpoint article, tells Self. Fall could be the optimal time to get a COVID-19 vaccine for various reasons, Dr. Englund says. First, most respiratory viruses kick up during the fall and winter months, which is why you're advised to get your flu shot around October. If similar viruses are any example, COVID-19 will spike around then too, Dr. Englund adds. Fall is also when many children and young people go back to school, where outbreaks are more likely to occur as people start to gather in classrooms and common areas. But researchers are still unclear on which vaccine will be recommended next and who will be eligible. Dr. Adalja says it's still too early to determine the optimal vaccine policy, booster or new vaccine. We're going to have to see what variants are out in the fall, Dr. Englund agrees. Right now, all COVID-19 vaccines being administered are first-generation vaccines, meaning the original formulation offered to healthcare providers in late 2020 is still in use for each one, Dr. Adalja says. In the future, though, researchers might create and administer a new vaccine that's more effective against the circulating strains of the time. For instance, Dr. Adalja says the Omicron variant infected many vaccinated individuals highlighting the fact that updating our vaccines may be necessary to fight future variants and prevent more surges. Moderna is one vaccine maker that is already ahead of the game. The biotech company is working on developing a combination influenza and COVID-19 vaccine that could be available as soon as fall 2023, The Guardian reported. The authors of the JAMA article acknowledged the current uncertainties and that the coming months will provide some clarity on the best path forward. During the 2022-2023 COVID-19 vaccine planning and selection process, it is important to recognize that the fall season will present a major opportunity to improve COVID-19 vaccination coverage with the goal of minimizing future societal disruption and saving lives, the authors wrote. With the plan for implementation of this year's vaccine selection process, society is moving toward a new normal that may well include an annual COVID-19 vaccination alongside seasonal influenza vaccination. While we still don't know quite as much about COVID-19 as we do about the flu, scientists are continuously learning about the coronavirus, and experts can see a future in which it is managed similarly to the flu. It's getting closer and closer to flu. Eventually, it will settle down to be another seasonal coronavirus, Dr. Adalja says. When that time comes, it will be critical to follow recommendations to get a vaccine when you're advised to by public health officials, Dr. Englund says. The number of people getting vaccinated will absolutely impact the number of deaths. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.